is so, so good. And I feel honored to stand among you and have you be so honest, so vulnerable, so humble, and yet so triumphant. When you're up here at a moment like this, don't you see how God can change a test into a testimony and a mess into a message? And every one of these women have something to tell the world, because our God does what no other God can do. There's no other God, no other name under heaven and earth by which we can be saved. But not just saved for someday down the road. It's not just fire insurance from hell. This is a way to live every day. This is a way that you can keep on keeping on. This is a way that changes you and transforms you, takes you from an old creation and makes all things new. So this is an amazing testimony, and we just want to applaud and thank God. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. This is not the work of man. This is not the work of a self-help program or a book, Lord. This is your word being unleashed in the lives of these women, Lord. And your word is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, that in it and through it with you, Jesus, you can do anything. And there's more work to be done, Lord. I pray that lives out in the midst of us will continue to be changed, Lord. There are more here that need a touch of your hand, a transformation, change, chains let loose, Lord. And so we pray that this would be contagious, that this, Lord, would just go throughout the women here, throughout our church, throughout our city and our state and the world, Lord. Use us. Send your Holy Spirit here. We say, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes. We'll take everything you have and more. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, ladies, you can be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a day for thanking and testimonies. You know, there was a passage that there were some lepers. 10 of them were healed by Jesus, as you remember. And only one came back and said thank you. So I want to say thank you, number one, that you came in the snow and you came out in the chill and you came out for one of the most important things. Thank you. To thank God for what he's doing, to thank your moderators for what they do, to thank the worship team and so many others. So we'll go through that list of thankfulness. But I also have a thanksgiving too. I'm so thankful for you ladies. You know, when I'm out and about in the community, this week I bumped into a friend at Home Goods, because I'm decorating my house already. I have some crazy Christmas plans. And, you know, a lady just said she had lost her mother and was feeling alone, and just thank God she had us. That this was a place that she got replenished and felt like family. And I do want to say that to you ladies. If old traditions aren't there because some people aren't going to be in your life this holiday season, we want to love you. We want you to be a part of our holiday season. Please come to the Christmas tea. Come to the services. Come on New Year's Eve. Make this your family. Make this your home. Make this your place that you can get hugged. And this just becomes your new part of normal. This is your new tradition of what you do each year for the holidays. And so we invite you, please sign up for the Christmas tea. And we just want to be together with you, really, is the long and short of that, providing opportunities for togetherness. And then the other thing that the Lord has done in our midst, and I was stunned yesterday, is the Reload Love office texted me and said, we have almost all the money for the Love Bus. I think we're just $600 shy. But when you're trying to raise $50,000. Oh, someone gave a check for $650. It's all covered. So I don't have words for things like that. But I know that when I'm in Jordan with the team December 6th through the 13th, that we're going to buy those kids a bus. And you have a part of that. Whether you can go and be there with us with the bus you're with us in our hearts. And so thank you, ladies, for doing that. Thank you. From Reload Love. The other thing that just dumbfounded us, as you know, we're wanting to build playgrounds, changing battlegrounds into playgrounds. And our big ridiculous goal is in the next year we'd like to build 5 playgrounds in IDP camps. And you know, with the news, how horrible the IDP crisis is. And now because of the bombings in France, a lot of people don't want to take any more IDPs, which is an issue. And there are a lot still in countries. So we yesterday morning got an email that just asked Skip. We were sitting by a fire and I read the email and I started sobbing. But we're going to Jordan and we had wanted to visit this place named Mafraq. And it didn't seem like the Lord was opening any doors, although my good friend Aileen has been a missionary there for 60 years. Even visiting her in her sanatorium, we're focusing on these kids. So we are going to decline going to Mafraq. And I got an email, and this guy texts me, and he said, I have a really good friend, and read his email. And the guy goes, hi, I'm on the ground here in Jordan, and I just want you to know I've been visiting Mafraq. And he said, as you know, hundreds of thousands of refugees came through Mafraq in 2011 and 12. And he goes, there's 100,000 that are living scantily in cities and 100,000 in a tent city. And he said, I visited last year a church, Christian Missionary Alliance, who are in Jordan. That's who we're working with in Amman, oddly. They opened a school this year. We opened a school, too, for 95 students. And he said, and they just cleared the space for a soccer field and a playground, but they don't have the money for the playground. And he goes, do you think your organization would like to provide the first playground? And we're like, well, we've been looking for where to put our first playground, and now there's a place. And he goes, if you build one at the school, maybe you could build one in the IDP camp as well. So we could have a place for 2 playgrounds. So anyway, Mafraq is a city that's special to Skip and I because we've known a missionary that was there for 60 years. She's my Mother Teresa. She is my hero in the faith. And to be able to put anything where she has been and follow the work as she is retiring is the most humbling thing ever. So I just want to thank you guys that while we're delivering a bus, we get to go walk around Jericho, so to speak, and look at 2 places where we could build a playground for kids. So I want to praise God and thank God that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or hope. So God works in real time. And so you're amazing. You guys know these ladies, don't you? They're the ones that really make ministry happen. If I didn't have Larissa, Zanetta, and Frances, I don't know how we'd get anything done around here. So first of all, thank you to the She Team. Woo! They are amazing women, and really it was their hearts and their prayers that birthed and launched hashtag deliverance this last summer. So you can see the power that God does through them, that this is the team that really saw that vision all the way through. And so thank you, ladies. You're amazing.
Pleasure and an honor, always, as always.
Okay. Well, we have some people to thank. Zanetta, you want to thank some of your team?
Sure. Am I on?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I will start out with I just thank you for all of you overseers. We work in a tiered structure here. Some of you may not know that within Bible study, but we have a Bible study overseer who is Karen Pacini. She is not here today. She's stuck in the snow in the mountains. So we just love Karen. She's everywhere helping all the time, everywhere. So thank you to Karen. Beneath Karen, we have a moderator overseer who is Megan England. We thank you, Megan, for all of your hard work.
Megan!
Yes. And then underneath Megan, we have our moderator coordinators. So we have Diane and Kara, Susan.
Diane.
And Audrey. Where's Audrey? So we have our coordinators, and then under there we have all of our moderators and all of you. If you even just want to stand up,
yeah, moderators, please stand up. Stand up, you lovely ladies. Thank you, thank you. They work hard, don't they, Zanetta?
They do. They work super hard. They do their homework lesson for themselves, and then for each of you, they go back through it and just allow the Spirit to lead them on what They want to bring to you ladies. They pray for you faithfully and they love you. They love you. They're doing this on a volunteer basis for you because they know that you need that accountability and that connection. So thank you, moderators.
Woohoo! We also obviously have teachers, Christy Willis with Titus II this year. And Janae got to share with us on our kiss and makeup. And so we're exploring that. Thank you, Diane and Paula Riley, for Kiss and Makeup, coming and teaching us some different skills. There were writers who have contributed to us, so we want to thank our writing team as well. Penny Rose for collaborating on Ephesians in your homework, so give a round for Penny. What an amazing woman of God. And then we have a steering committee. There are a group of ladies that we try and get God's vision and heart for everything, not just the Bible study, but retreats and conferences. And so anyway, thank you, steering team. If any of you are here, I think Christy and Barb are here. I'm not sure. So can the steering gals stand up just so they can see you if you're in attendance? Okay. Thank you, ladies. Maria, thank you. Audrey, I saw you over there. And it does really take a team to make all of these things happen. So maybe you'd like to thank the hospitality that all God's provided this year.
Yes, wow. This is a huge task, and as you all saw in the testimony video, Maria Pardo, she headed up our hospitality ministry
Maria.
For quite some time. Woohoo! And she has handed that over to Tracy Rodden.
Tracy, you're awesome.
Tracy, are you here? Stand up, Tracy, if you're here. Come on.
There she is.
Way. Okay. So she has taken over the reins from Maria, and she, in fact, they're sitting in the back because they have been preparing to serve you ladies. Is it a surprise?
We haven't told them yet.
Oh, okay.
Surprise! We're serving you something. What is the surprise? Go ahead, let it out.
I can't tell them.
I can't take them.
They've been cutting and preparing pie for you all and getting coffee set up in SoPo. After this, we're going to head over there and fellowship. So that's why they're all sitting back there, because they snuck in as the service began, because they've been here since as early as 8:30.
Okay, so give an applause for pumpkin pie.
And for all the hospitality
yes.
team. They've been amazing.
Yes. And then out in the foyer, we have the product and sales team, the kiosk and registration team. So there are a lot of ladies, and the reload team that they have the tables out there every week. So let's thank them as well. Franny, Titus II is turning into like a special event type thing. Do you want to thank our special event and Titus II ladies?
It's really wonderful to see everybody come together to help make Titus II happen. I love the ideas that are coming up with the kiss and makeup. What a wonderful thing to instruct these young ladies in being able to not only do the outside, but also the inside. And we have a great team, and Christy, who's awesome in leading us in that. We just thank you so much for being part of this team.
Barb Wiley and Janae overseeing that.
And
Pat had
Janae.
The gardening over the summer. I don't see Pat right now, but we had another one. So anyway, thank you. Prayer team, often hidden but very powerful. They text me things all week long, so thank you to our prayer team.
Yes.
Just want to thank you so much. And then there are some behind the scenes, the Calvary staff, AV, security guys, and there are people who set up and tear down every week. So if you're looking for something to do, you can sign up in the foyer and join a team and help us with this incredible task. The more the merrier, right? So that would be great. And, of course, our worship. Tell us about that, Larissa. It's really grown this year.
It really has. And, you ladies saw it. There's just the anointing. God is just moving through our worship team. And it's just been such an honor just to be ushered into worship every week by Natalie and the team that she has, she puts together each week. So that's just been incredibly amazing. And then one thing, just real quick before we forget, I also wanted to thank Heather, Miss Heather Campbell, just for taking over our social media. Posting all of those beautiful quotes and images that you see on Facebook and Instagram, on Twitter. I see a lot of you sharing those. She's just done an amazing job. So thank you, Heather.
Thank you. I've had a lot of friends say, man, you've been really busy. You're posting a lot. I'm like, no, I'm not. But God has provided someone who does post, so that's a super-duper blessing. Worship, just to have a whole band this semester. Natalie's doing such a wonderful job and adding to the team. I don't know about you, but I felt the Holy Spirit all over this place this morning. Is that an amen? So it's not just entertaining us with music, but they have the heart of worship. And that's so, so important. Well, we're going to start shifting into a time of communion. And I thought it would be kind of fun to do that as a team up here. And two things. That I want you, over this winter semester, to develop a skill and to practice something that we're going to practice together, and they don't even know what it is. So two surprises. But anyway, I want you to know how to meditate on God's Word. There are times where we read His Word, and we're just maybe doing our chapters to get through the Bible in a year. Maybe it's Bible study where we're slowing down and answering questions and really kind of being expository in our approach. What does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me personally? But there is really great power in memorizing and meditating on Scripture. And so this is something I think that you can do for the winter. And I think it's something that we can demonstrate to you while we're up here. I had this thought this morning about God in the Old Testament gave us some messianic texts. There are some in Isaiah 53, and there are some Psalms, and there are some places that speak of the Messiah coming and who He would be. And on the cross, Jesus quoted a psalm. And it was as if Jesus was saying, hey, check it out. You know, if you wondered if I am the Messiah, I am the guy, I'm going to quote this first line of a first psalm, and you should go back and check it out. And the first line is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. And those are some powerful words from the cross, right? That God... Jesus felt the removal of His Father's presence. I mean, if they have been together since creation, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and there was a moment in time in which Jesus was not experiencing the presence of His Father, I don't know how to describe that. Has there ever been a time in your life, Larissa, where you have lost the presence of someone, and you can maybe help us understand what that might feel like?
An individual?
Sure.
Yes. I think early on, I've been married twice, and the first time I was married, I was 27 years old. I was a newlywed, and 1 month after I was married, my husband received a terminal diagnosis. And the grieving process began immediately. And it was a very odd first year. That honeymoon stage was a mourning stage. And so after 1 month of marriage, I began my six-year funeral procession.
Because you lost him almost piece by piece. This disease was debilitating. That and so, you know, not only losing him while he's present, but then obviously his finally not being in his presence anymore.
Yes.
Had to be heart-wrenching. And I know a lot of you have experienced that kind of thing. So for Jesus to get up there and say, my God, why? I think that's where a lot of you get stuck, is just on the why. Zanetta, have you ever had a why?
I've had many whys. yes, and I can say that, you know, for me, even with that separation, I just think of divorce right
yes.
away, and what that separation does and the pain that it causes, and that pain does not go away. it's there forever. It's been almost 11 years for me, and it's there forever. And even the separation, you know, with that, you know, with the children, you know, having to share the children, there's a partial separation there because you don't have them all the time, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. But for me, I think a lot of the whys come up even during, you know, this and just trying to get through, you know, day to day, trusting God and trusting His promises and not losing heart and not growing weary. You know, why, Lord, why hasn't something different happened here? Why hasn't this happened? But you know what? The Lord has taught me over the years that when these whys come up, I have to get on my face before Him. I have to get in His Word. I have to meditate. I have to think about what His promises are, because if I don't, I am an absolute wreck. I'm an absolute mess, and I'm not stable. I'm very emotional and just a wreck.
Well, whys often aren't answered here and now, are they? A lot of the whys in our lives, we won't know the reason why. I mean, we know that He works all things together for good, and He makes us strong in our broken places, and He can make testimonies. Those are some of the whys. But sometimes it just doesn't completely answer. We have to move from the why to who and know that it's God that is sovereign and working in our lives. And I know in whom I have believed, and that He is faithful to keep His promises. So some of you, if you're stuck in the why, it may be time to move to the who. In your lives. But it's, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's often where we get into the slough of despond, because now it's all about me. Franny, have you ever had those me moments where you're kind of stuck in the me?
You know, as we're talking about that, I'm thinking about our situation where we're at right now, and we've been for quite a few months. You know, we've found ourselves in a place I never thought we would be. My husband, after, you know, he's been at Intel for 20 years, and he's, you know, hasn't been working for the last 8 months or so. And it's been an interesting journey. About a year ago, the Lord really showed me something that was in my heart, and it was, I'm a controller, and I like to make things happen and orchestrate it and, like, explain to God how to do it. And he showed me something. He showed me a scripture. It said, it was in a devotional that I read, and it said, if the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. If this verse is true, then there is no room for anxiety. And that that really made me focus on Him and not myself. And He's continually brought me into situations where I have to take my eyes off myself and put them on Him and know that He is sovereign. No matter what my circumstances are, no matter how things change, that He is sovereign, He is in control, and not me. And even though I don't know what tomorrow brings, I don't know when Murray is going to have, you know, full-time employment, or what it's going to be, I know that God is sovereign and that, amen, I don't have to figure it out.
So my God, why have you forsaken me? We all go through those circumstances, right? There's not one of us that hasn't faced that. Well, the counterpoint to that, as I was meditating on Psalm 22, which was Jesus on the cross, we're moving toward communion, that He died for us. Why did God forsake Him? For us. It was for you and for me. And the passage that popped into my mind after I had Psalm 22 was Hebrews 13, 5 or 6. Larissa can look it up. Hebrews 13. And there's a passage there that says, the Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Let that just ruminate in your heart for a minute. Jesus was forsaken, so you will never be. You might feel forsaken, but you will never be. Never. Never what Jesus experienced will you experience, because He did that. So here comes the meditation part. If you want to learn to meditate, is the verse there? Okay, verse 5, and it says, do you want to read it since you have it?
Sure.
Me too.
I'm going to read the whole thing, but it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Woo! I got tingles. That word is for somebody, maybe several somebodies. Did you just feel that? Seriously, somebody here, that's yours, right? You just know that came out for you? Raise your hand. Come on, I know it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's when the word comes alive. Oh, gosh, I'm still tingling. Okay, so I'll let those go anyway. All right, so here's how to meditate. Let's just say this is your problem that you're feeling. Why, God, have you forsaken me? You find a promise and you meditate. And here's how you meditate. Take one word at a time. So it was, the Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I'm going to show you an example. We're just going to talk. This is like sanctified the view. Man, I don't know if you can sanctify the view. I don't know. I'm telling you, start over from that thing. But anyway, I hope you don't watch The View. No. Oh, I'm sorry. I hope you don't watch The View. Anyway, so I will never leave you or forsake you. This is the Lord speaking. So let's just start with I. Let's just talk about I. Who is I in this sentence? Microphone.
Oh, sorry. God, Jesus,
right.
The Lord.
Tell me about God. Who is God, Franny?
He is amazing. He's faithful. He's true.
Zanetta, anything else about God?
Awesome, sovereign,
powerful,
the only God, powerful,
creator.
That's right.
Nothing is impossible to him. Anybody else? God, I. Tell me who you think God is. Love, mighty, great I am, deliverer, healer. Redeemer. Okay, so when you're meditating, you stop there for a minute. That's a pretty good meditation. I will. Okay, let's just, the will part. If God says, I will, what do you think will means to you?
It's a confident, it's a definite.
Yeah, affirmative. Anything else, you guys?
An action.
Yes.
An action.
He's an active God. Mm-hmm. Anything else? I will, does that say... Power.
Guarantee.
Guarantee.
That's good.
Providence.
Yes.
Absolute. Decisive. So now you're meditating on I will. This is that God, the almighty, powerful, awesome God. And he is active and mighty and powerful. And if God came to you and said, I will, what would that do to you? Whoa. Okay, I'm excited now. I don't know. What will he? You know, that's where I am. Okay, so now God says, I will never. Talk to me about never. When is never?
Never. Never.
So if God said, I will never, what is he saying? There are God has a boundary? You can count on him? Absolute. But did he put a boundary? I, who can do anything and powerful, omniscient, omnipotent, will, I am active, I have the sources, I will never?
Yeah, he didn't say sometimes.
Right.
He said never. Not once in a while or when I feel like it, it's I will never, never, ever, ever.
Okay, so there are some things that God will never? What will God never? Leave you. I will never leave you. All right. Have people left you? Maybe death, maybe friends, maybe divorce, maybe misunderstanding. But you have a God who says, I will never leave. What is leave? Abandon, go away. You guys are awesome.
Turn their back on you.
Turn their back. Absent, ignore, reject. You guys are incredible. You're really good at meditating. I will never leave you. Okay, who's you? All right, anybody, are you here? You. Oh my gosh, circle that. I will never leave you. Is the Bible personal?
Yes.
Did Jesus mean it for you? Yes. I will never leave you or forsake you. What is forsaken? betrayed, abandoned, forget, reject. I will never forget you, the Lord says. Even if a mother could forget her children, I could never forget you, it says. I have carved you in the palm of my hands. Could God ever forget you, reject you, forsake you, abandon you? No. That's what it says. So this is how you meditate on God's word. You take a verse and you just chew on it a word at a time and then add to the next word. I will never. So I'm going to challenge you. This is your homework through the holidays. If there's a situation in your life that you're feeling these emotional things, maybe it's a physical thing, a reality thing, will you find one scripture, one promise from God, and will you meditate on it? Mm-hmm. Get a journal, a piece of paper, write down all your thoughts, all those details, and then turn those into a prayer. Because that will be our prayer for you through the holidays. Shared. When it was togetherness, is communion, that's what it means, having common things, being in unity. So, Larissa, if you'll pray for the bread, and Zanetta, if you'll pray for the juice. There's a top layer that's kind of clear. If you peel that off first, that's how you get that wafer out. And so be patient with it, and go ahead and pull that out.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, you laid your life down for us, Lord. You stood in front of Pilate, and you were flogged, and you were beaten, Lord. You had your beard pulled out, Father. And Jesus, you hung on that cross. They pierced you with nails, Lord. And you hung there with that broken body, and you did it for us, Jesus. And you command us to do this in remembrance of you, Lord. And I just pray, Father, all of us here, Lord, that we would just remember, Lord, remember the great sacrifice and the great love, Lord, the love that you poured out on the cross, Father. You did it for us. And I thank you, Lord. All of us are eternally, eternally grateful, Jesus, that you would separate yourself from your Father for us, for me, Lord, every woman here, for me. So, Lord, we just take this bread in remembrance of you and the great sacrifice on the cross.
And Father, with that, we just thank you for your blood that was shed as you hung there on that cross, your blood that poured down, your blood that covers us now, your blood that makes us whiter than snow, your blood that covers our sins, your blood that covers our messed up lives. When the Father looks at us, he sees you, Jesus, because of that blood. So we just thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. I pray, Father, that we would remember it's because of your blood that we will never face death. Death has passed over us because of the blood. And we just thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for Jesus so sacrificially giving his life. We praise you. We honor you. We drink this juice to remember the blood of Jesus. Praise you.
We sure do love you. We're so, so happy you were here with us this semester. And today I see all you wiping tears from your eyes. I think this was a day some of you really needed.